RadioInfluence.com.
You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to In the Trenches. This is Ian Beckles with you, and unfortunately, it's not a Victory Monday. It's the same old, same old. Our Buccaneers do not get it done yesterday in Baltimore. Rainy and miserable, 2 weeks in a row. The Baltimore rainy and miserable is a lot worse than Tampa Bay rainy and miserable, and that played right into their hands. It played right into their hands, but I don't know if we have any hands. Like, I don't know what would be the ultimate situation that would benefit the Buccaneers. And I was thinking about that before the game. If it's nice out, does that benefit the Buccaneers? If it's muddy out, if it's rainy out, we don't really do anything all that consistent to where anything would really benefit us. And watching that game, I made a prediction before, like last week on the air. I thought the Bucs were going to lose 30-10. And it wasn't quite that bad, but it had that feel to it. The Buccaneers weren't going to win that football game yesterday. The Buccaneers, even though they were one touchdown away, nobody thought they were going to win that game. Nobody thought they were going to drive the ball down the field. If you look at what the Buccaneers got accomplished yesterday, they took advantage of what Baltimore gave them, okay? If you watch that game yesterday, you know, the Buccaneers, you know, we're talking about Jameis Winston, who is going through rehearsals of, you know, hopefully to be the quarterback of the future. And when the week before you score 14 points and then this week you score 12 points, you know, that's not the best rehearsal in the world. And the Buccaneers, this is what we are, unfortunately. It's not like the Buccaneers, like if I said to you, who is underachieving for the Buccaneers? Who would you say? Who is underachieving for the Buccaneers? I would wait to hear it, but I'd like to hear the name. I got a name that's underachieving. I think Cameron Brate is underachieving. Cameron Brate has his name on the side of the stadium. He has a picture. He's caught a touchdown here and there. That's not enough. It's not enough. Somebody will say, well, that's Jameis Winston. Well, Jameis Winston's underachieving. No, Jameis Winston's playing about like he's played his whole career. And whether we like it or not, when we watch our offense, I'm not a DeSean Jackson fan, but without DeSean Jackson, that offense ain't the same. It's not the same. Without any speed coming out of the back end of that offense, it makes Mike Evans a little slower. It makes Adam Humphries a little slower. It makes Cameron Brate a little slower. It makes everybody they're throwing the ball to a little bit slower. So this Buccaneer team is, it's what it is. And defensively, it's the same way. Nobody's really underachieving on that defense. They didn't play a horseshit game yesterday, but it wasn't a good game. You're talking about playing against a Ravens team who is about as one-dimensional as I've seen an offense in a long time. They're good at what they do, but you're talking about, you know, giving up 24 first downs to a team. That's a lot of first downs. On third down, the Ravens were 9-for-16. They had 370 yards against us, and that's not crazy, but when they run it down your throat, that's a lot. 74 plays, that's a lot of plays. And the time of possession, they had the ball for over 37 minutes. So that's not a good football game either way, on either side of the ball. Offensively, I just don't think we have a mentality. The first drive of the game, we come out on the first play of the game. Like, I remember, you know, when we used to play somebody, we'd say, let's impose our will on somebody. The first play of the game, Peyton Barber breaks right down the pipe, finds a nice little hole. He's 10 yards before he's really touched. He hits the safety 10 yards deep, runs over to safety, gets 15 yards. So we get first and 15. That's the first play of the game. First and 15, first down, ready to go. The second play of the game, we throw the ball down the middle of the field to Godwin, who drops the ball right in his hands. Godwin is reading his press clippings because he thinks he's good and he's not that good yet. Everybody wanted to gas him up. He had a couple pretty good games, but as of late, he's playing like horse crap. So Godwin misses the ball down the middle of the field. Pass to Humphreys for 7 yards. Then we get sacked, and then we punt the ball. What happened to establishing the run? Like, you're allowed to establish the run just like Baltimore did yesterday. When was the last time the Bucs tried to establish the run? I don't remember last time the Bucs tried to establish run. I don't. But we caught it in the face yesterday because we don't ever try to beat anybody up. Whether we're equipped for it or not, I don't know, but we don't ever try to do it. And we just allow people to just run the ball down our throats, and it's unfortunate. Defensively, when it comes down to the nitty-gritty and we need a play to end the game, we were soft, man. I mean, when Baltimore had the ball and we need a stop at the end of the game, we're just going to let them get first down after first down after first down after first down and then end with the ball. I said this all season, and we've lost going away. We've lost by a touchdown. We've lost by field goals. When it comes to the point where our defense has to make a play, they never, ever, ever make a play. They never do. Not this year anyways. We have some really good football players, and we have some really bad football players too. Ronald Jones, who recruited Ronald Jones? Who was it? Somebody please stand forward. Who wanted this guy drafted? Period. If Ronald Jones was in the second round, seventh round, standing there, I'd say, please don't take this kid. Ronald Jones, I've watched him in training camp. I watched him in preseason games. I watched him in regular season games. I watched him in just about every capacity. He has one flaw. He can't catch the football. He can't catch the football, and he's an undersized running back who doesn't have very good running back skills. He can't catch the football. In preseason, somebody threw him a little dump pass, and he dropped it. In practice, I saw him 15 yards away from a quarterback. He dropped it. Yesterday, he caught one ball in the flat. It was the easiest catch ever. He caught it sort of and bobbled it for like 4 seconds, then got blasted. Then they threw another play in the flat and he dropped it. Ronald Jones sucks, period. Sorry. If he's sensitive, I'm sorry. Now, Vita V, who was our number one pick overall, he's starting to show me that he can play a little bit of football. I like what I'm seeing now. To me, it looks like he is, hopefully to this point, not a bust. I'm seeing things in the last 3 games that make me think that this kid can be a good football player going down the way. I really do. He's our nose guard right now. Gerald McCoy's our three technique. Gerald McCoy gets tossed down a lot in the game. Gerald McCoy will make 2.5 explosive plays a game. The rest of the time, he's just a guy. He's just a guy. I know there's still big Gerald McCoy fans out there. I'm not completely certain he doesn't make the Pro Bowl this year. He might make the Pro Bowl for sure. And it's just one of those things where it shocks me when I'm hearing led by still Gerald McCoy. It shocks me. And listen, the announcers yesterday, I thought they were a little bit fluffy. You know, when they're talking about this Bucs defensive front is really talented, they're really, what has the defensive front done to make them that talented through a whole season? And then they said with the really talented wide receiving core, I don't know if this wide receiving core is that talented anymore. I really don't. Every once in a while against a lesser team, they'll get theirs. But as a consistency, I'm not seeing it. I'm really not. You know, Godwin, I wanted Godwin to be the man. He has to prove to himself that he's the man, okay? You know, dropping passes in the middle of the field, running half-ass routes. He's one of those guys where he's not really open that much. So if he's dropping passes, we have a serious, serious problem. This Buccaneer offense, we really barely did anything yesterday. Now, I understand it's against a pretty darn good defensive team in the Baltimore Ravens, and they are pretty darn good. They have a good mentality. They run to the ball. They're a good defense. But if you think about the points that we scored yesterday, there was the fumble in the first half, which Lavonte David recovered. And the Bucs did nothing on that play. That was just a mess up by the Baltimore Ravens. The Bucs didn't really, you know, force that by any means. Okay, they took advantage of it. Now you have a short field and they score a touchdown. That's great. And the other points they scored was on a muffed punt return, okay, which was idiotic. A muffed punt return. So, you know, the Bucs come at it with 12 points. And, you know, two touchdowns were given to them. So, and I still hear people say, Jameis played well. Jameis did not play well to me. If that's well, then we need to start all over. Because if that's playing well, we're just good enough to lose to everybody. And that's what the Bucs have been this whole year, just good enough to lose to everybody. It's unfortunate. The interception that Jameis threw, the one that was short, that was the most indecisive throw I've seen Jameis make in a while. It was one of those ones where as he was cocked throwing it, he was thinking, oh no, don't throw this ball. And he almost tried to stop himself halfway, threw it short, and that was an interception, and that was it. It seems like it's the same thing over and over and over. And what I am seeing with this Buccaneer offense, and maybe you're not seeing the same thing, but this is very important now. We're not getting too much productivity within our offensive system. We're getting productivity on broken plays, all right? We're getting productivity when Jameis rolls out of the pocket. You can't live and die by that. You can't score 40 points like that. You can't. When Ryan Fitzpatrick was scoring 40-something points, he was doing it from the pocket. Did he run? Yep. He was decisive, got out of there. Not just, oh my God, it's time for me to get out of here. Let me start rolling all over the place. And that's unfortunately when Jameis is at his best. But you have to learn how to win from the pocket in the NFL to win. You're just not going to continue to win if you can't win from the pocket. You can't do it. Defensively, our tackling sucks. I mean, our tackling is pitiful. I don't know if that has to do with training camp and the lack of reps and the lack of hits. Baltimore seemed to be tackling just fine. But there was a couple plays where the Bucs had 2 and 3 and 4 chances to tackle Lamar Jackson and their running backs and have them short to first downs, and they didn't get it done. And it's just, I don't know where the Bucs go from here. I don't know where they go from here, because in the offseason, a lot of things are going to have to be done, obviously, but you have to keep the nucleus of this team. And I don't know about the nucleus of this team anymore. I'm not sure. The nucleus of this team is Jameis Winston, O.J. Howard, Mike Evans, Humphreys, our offensive line, which I'm not sure of anymore, because you think about the offensive line, we got DeMar Dodson, who might play next year, might not. Benenock, I hope the hell is not here next year. Jensen's not really playing all that well for a guy who was the highest paid center in the league. He's not playing that well. Don't dislike him as a player, but he's not playing that well. Marpet's playing okay. Donovan Smith is eh. So next year, you go into the year, that's the nucleus of our team. Peyton Barber. I mean, you could bring in another running back, but it's still the same offensive line, still doing the same thing. it's not really about off. It's not really about running backs. It's really more about offensive lines. And you know, when you play against a team like Baltimore, who can't really throw the ball all that well, you'd like to believe that you can, you know, hone down and you know, hunker down on the run. It's not that easy. You got a runner who's as agile as any running back, and you have an extra blocker now that you have the quarterback running the ball. So it makes it a tough situation. And the Baltimore Ravens have rushed for 195 yards or more in five straight games. 195 yards. I don't remember the last time the Bucs rushed for 195 yards. They actually had about 250 against the Bucs. That's a lot of yards. Now, the receivers didn't catch a whole lot of balls. In the offseason, if Lamar Jackson is still the quarterback going into the next year, it's going to be hard for Baltimore to bring in wide receivers. It really is, because they're not going to get statistics. As long as Lamar Jackson is healthy, which I don't know if that's going to be very long, the receivers are not going to get too many statistics. So right now, Harbaugh's in a weird situation where he has to go with Lamar Jackson. He's winning every game. But you also have to be thinking, God, how long is this going to last? And when it stops and the music stops, now what? We put RG3 in or you put Flacco back in? Because now we have an offense that is used to playing a certain way. You put Flacco in, you got to go back to that boring, you know, equation that was losing for you way back when, and that's just dropping back. So the Ravens are in good situation, but they also play hella defense. You play hella defense, you can run the football, you have a chance to win. And the unfortunate part is the Bucs got to go to Dallas, coming off a very tough loss to the Colts. I got punched in the face by the Colts. But the previous games, the Cowboys have beat the Eagles twice. They beat the Saints and they beat the Redskins. So the Cowboys are not a bad football team, although they got punched yesterday. But when you talk about running the football and playing defense, that's what the Dallas Cowboys do. And that's what the Buccaneers don't. The Buccaneers don't. We don't run the football, and we don't play defense when it matters. So where the Bucs go from here and where the organization goes from here is, I'm curious, because going back 2 weeks, everybody was like, well, if the Bucs run the table, well, that ain't going to happen, all right? They weren't good enough to run any type of table. When you ever hear somebody talk about running the table, it's because your team ain't good enough. It ain't going to happen. It rarely, rarely happens. Rarely. But the Bucs got to go to Dallas and play against a football team that I don't really think they match up well against again. And then again, I don't know if the Bucs match up well against anybody. Everybody was saying, oh, the Bucs are going to win that last game against Atlanta. You don't know that. Atlanta scored 40 points yesterday. Atlanta has some pretty darn good football players with hella pride. And I hope the Buccaneers show themselves that they have hella pride, because I didn't have any confidence in them yesterday to go to Baltimore and get that done. And I didn't hear a lot of people saying that in the week before either. So it's 2 weeks in a row where our Buccaneers are playing against teams that our fans don't think they have any chance of beating. And I think that's a sad feeling as a Buccaneer fan, that you're going to play a game and you're just going to watch the game. And when your team loses, you're like, eh, that's the way it goes. That's what the Buccaneers are. And right now, that's exactly what these Buccaneers are, is just a losing team. They're just good enough to lose to just about everybody right now. If anybody wants to get in contact with me, has any questions about football, about just about anything, I'm pretty wide open. It's IanBeckles@RadioInfluence.com. I have a cannabis podcast. I have a Flavor in Your Ear podcast, which is a lot of the social media, and also a Flavor of Tampa Bay podcast, which I'm doing with Tracy Guida now from Forking Around Town. And now we'll be talking about all the delicious dishes and things that we eat throughout the week. So you definitely don't want to miss that. But this has been In the Trenches. The numbers have been excellent. I appreciate you guys all listening in. The football season only has a couple more weeks, but when the football season's over, there's still plenty to talk about, and the NFL never stops. So appreciate you guys listening in. This has been In the Trenches. Everybody have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
This is a Forking Around Town with Tracy Guida Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
As you may know, I come from an Italian background, and my late grandfather, Dominic, was one of my first foodie role models. One of my favorite memories as a child was making pasta with him, and to this day, I cherish those memories. Whenever he came to visit us in Northern California, we would always take a drive to wine country, and he loved to eat his way around while sipping on wine and tasting local fare. Olive oil was one of his favorite ingredients in everything from pasta to pastries, so I'm honored to have Andrea Gebbia as a guest today. If you're not familiar, Joe & Sons Olive Oils is a modern twist on the original family business that was started in Ybor City by Giuseppe Favada, a Sicilian immigrant, back in 1938. Joe and his son operated a neighborhood grocery store for nearly 40 years. In 2011, Joe's great-granddaughter, Andrea Gebbia, reimagined the visit and reopened with a focus on high-quality extra virgin olive oils and aged balsamic vinegars. The retail store and tasting taproom offers ultra-premium certified extra virgin olive oils, aged balsamic vinegars, specialty oils, local and artisan gourmet foods, and more. Trust me, guys, you definitely need to stop by because it's like a Disneyland for food lovers.
Forking Around Town with Tracy Guida can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.